What's up, family? Jared the Boss Man here. You're tuned into the Boss Man Show on AM 1010, AM 1430, 1055 The King. Get The King out at 105theking.com and The Boss Man Show at bossmanshow.com. Hit me up on Instagram, The Boss Man Show, Twitter at Boss Man Show, and Facebook, Boss Man Show. It's The Boss Man on your radio.
Listen to The Boss Man Show with your host, JR, Saturdays at 9 a.m. right here on AM 1010, The King.
BS3 Network, changing the way you watch TV.
Yes, BS3 Network, changing the way you watch TV, covering content and hot topics from A to Z, sports, music, society and culture, movie reviews, you name it, we have it. Check it out on bs3network.com or check us out on Roku, BS3 TV on Roku, as well as check out your favorite podcast on all podcast platforms or spreaker.com/BS3Network.
You are now tuned to BS3 Network.
It's Mike Bibby on the Boss Man Show. Mike, what's up, man? Good to see you again.
Good to see you too, man. Thanks for having me on.
No doubt. Man, let me ask you, man. I got to ask, where'd you get this bug to coach, man, if we want to do this thing, man? I know you was a heck of a player, man. So when should I got to get the bug to coach?
It happened a long time ago. You know, my son was 9 years old, and I had my little AAU team. So I'm the one that started all the team, Bibby, and the team, whatever they got going. You know, our first AAU team. 18 years ago, my AAU team is called Team Bibby. And just, you know, trying to get these guys to go play the right way, coach them, make sure they're getting the right teaching and stuff. And, you know, I mean, I just thought it was just, you know, just helping them doing that. But then once my son got to high school, you know, his first year, freshman, I retired that year. I already played with the Knicks. That was my last year. And, you know, I watched what was going on in that program at my old high school, and, you know, I didn't like it. And, you know, I was real close to the athletic director, and I just told him, like, hey, I'm taking my son out of this year, out of there after this year. I don't like what's going on, just the practices and the way things are being set up. I don't like it. I'm going to take him somewhere else. And he was like, well, what would you want to coach here? And I was like, you know what? Well, yeah, I'll try high school coaching. Let me try high school coaching. You know, I fell in love with it. You know, I just always liked teaching. My thing is I like to teach kids. And, you know, when I got to the high school, you know, we had a long run in Phoenix. And it was just good to give back to the kids, that, you know, try to get them to go to Division I school or go play basketball somewhere else after they left me.
No doubt. And Mike Meskis, man, you play with some great coaches. So how much do you borrow from each guy to play for, to kind of use, make it your style, and to kind of coach the way you want to coach now?
I mean, I took after everybody. You know, my favorites was Rick Adelman, Coach Olsen, and Mike Woodson. You know, those were a lot of the guys that I took a lot of my stuff from. You know, Coach Olsen, just giving the kids, you know, at college, I seen a lot. My son went through a lot when he was at college. You know, not with all of his coaches, but with some of them, and just tearing their confidence down and giving the kid, not letting them go out there and play basketball how he knows how to play it. And, you know, Coach Olsen, when I was at Arizona, you know, on that championship run we had, after the first two games, you can see I kind of jumped onto the scene even further when he said, you know, he put me in front of the team and said, hey, Mike, I need you to play how we recruited you to play. We need you to play like that. You know, when he gave me that confidence, it was a whole different ball game for me. You know, I felt like he had the trust in me, and I just went out there and played. So I took that from him. you know, like the offensive sets and how to play and give these guys confidence, let these guys go out there play, you know, Rick Adam and just let us play to our strengths. And with Woodson, I got a lot of X and O's from Mike Woodson. So, I mean, I've taken a lot of stuff from a lot of the guys that I've had and just kind of implemented it into my style.
And, Mike, the kind of come full circle. Woody's now lead assistant coach for the Kings now, and you're coach at Seminole State. Talk about how life is, man. You've all back in the same city coaching. He's back an associate head coach now. You're leading the Seminole State Hornets.
It is good. You know, I bumped into him a few times, went and hung out with him at, you know, a cigar lounge a few times. So, I mean, like I said, he was probably my favorite coach and probably best all-around coach as far as, you know, a player's coach. And I'd be in his office every day in Atlanta, you know, just trying to figure out how the guys felt and how I felt and what we're going to do next. And it was just good to be around to where, you know, now he's back. I'm glad he got his foot back in the door. You know, even after Atlanta, I don't think that he got the right end of the stick over there, you know, winning 54 games or whatever it was that he won over there and not get hired back. You know, it's a travesty to see something happen like that with the coach. A lot of these coaches don't reach 54 games in 2-3 years. So for him to get in the one and not to get the job, you know, it sucked.
Yeah, man, it's crazy. That was my first year covering the NBA just to see that, like, he won over 50 games and he now he's gone. Even in me as a rookie media dude, I'm like, it doesn't make no sense to me.
I mean, yeah, that's how it goes sometimes. But you know, he kept his foot in there. You know, he coached at Indiana for a few years, and then he come back. I think, you know, Sacramento's hire and Doug Christie and Bobby Jackson was a great hire, and I think it's, you know, just as good hire to hire Mike Woodson and get some of his knowledge.
No, Dad. Well, I have one more question about Atlanta, Mike. Is this man? Talk about the environment playing at Phillips Arena back in the day with Ryan Cameron and the organist, like how the crowd would get hyped when making those runs, man. How cool was it to be in that arena when y'all was doing your thing, man?
It was good, you know. Mike did it for three. You know, I mean, I still here today. I mean, when I came there, when I played there on an opposing team, it wasn't really good because they weren't really winning that much. You know, I think when we came in, when my first year there, half year through there, we played and we took Boston in 7 games just to see how they exploded and how everybody came out and you know, starting to respect the game of in Atlanta basketball and just come out there and show their support. You know, it continued the whole year I was there, and I loved playing there.
No doubt, man. And Mike, for you, man, with your guys doing with your pedigree, man, this summer, has it been a lot of team stuff? Or are you doing more like letting them play to kind of figure out what you have because you have a whole new roster?
I mean, I got to teach them stuff. You know what I mean? A lot of these kids coming in, you know, we're running to kids that say, you know, we've never seen this in the 4 years that I've been playing. Like, no one's ever taught us anything to this level that we're teaching. So my main thing is just to get them on the same page with each other, have them learn to play with each other instead of everything trying to go one-on-one. And, you know, I mean, you play there good, everything will work out. You trust in your teammates. You have a lot of camaraderie stuff, you know, bowling, top golf stuff to where they could go hang. We had them here all in the same like apartment complex just so they could get around each other, hang out with each other. And I mean, everybody on the team is real close, and I mean, I think it's going to help us a lot.
No doubt, man. And Mike, for you and teaching these young men about being healthy, and because it's a long year, about eating the right way, the prehab, the rehab, and the sleep aspect of it. Talk about that, teaching these young men about how to condition their bodies for a long year and play the style you want them to play.
I mean, they're still young, though. You know, I mean, even when I was younger, I was still eating. I was still eating trash and doing stuff. We got guys that will help them with that. And my main thing is just try to make sure that they're good young men, they're respectful young men, and help them grow off the court just as much on the basketball court.
And you kind of mentioned my next question I had for you. What's the pillars of your program that a young man must have to be a part of your program? What kind of the values and core values of your program you want people to hear, to interview back here in Atlanta and say, I might want to send my son out there and play for you?
Somebody that wants to learn and somebody that's tough. It's not, I mean, I'm going to hold these kids accountable. I told them from the start, you know, I mean, I'm not here to coddle y'all. And I told them that you're from leaving here, you're going to be able to learn how to do stuff yourself. You know, I mean, you got a family environment here. You know, I got my cousin, my son's coaching with me as well. And I mean, just to learn to grow up, and you know, you'll be in situations to where It's that you either make this decision or that decision, and one's going to get you in trouble. You got to make the right one, because everybody, there's a chance for everybody to go play basketball pro, whether it's NBA or overseas. There's a good way to make some good money. I mean, it's not the $80 million of stuff that the NBA is making right now a year, but it's still a good amount of money monthly to where you can take care of your family and you can raise a family.
No doubt. You're going to train these young men on how to be a professional. I think that's the best thing about it, because a lot of guys don't have that opportunity to play for a guy who knows what they're trying to achieve. You can teach them how to be professional, what it takes on off the floor, the dedication, the grind, and get the work. Because some guys think, well, I went to practice, it's all good. No, you got to put in work after practice. You've got to go get more shots up. You have to go do more working out. So talk about that piece, Mike, as well.
I just told him, you know, I mean, I just, like, the first day, who raised your hand if you got an extra working day? Two people out of the 14 raised their hand. And I'm like, who here is trying to go to the NBA? Everybody raised their hand. I said, well, that ain't going to work, right? That, you know what I mean? I used to make 700 shots a day in between pickup games. So I'd go to the LA Fitness and sit there and shoot four shots while they're down the other side of the basket, wait till they come back and go back. And I made 700 shots that way. You know, I used to be in the gym 4 or 5, 6 hours getting up shots that way. You know, once I told myself, once I get enough money, I'm going to put a gym in my house where I don't have to wait for it anymore for people to shoot. So I end up getting a gym in my house. But like the first couple of years I was in the league, I had to shoot that way. And I made sure that I stayed, you know, the 500, 700 makes a day to where now my jumper is second nature.
No doubt, man. That worked. It paid off. You was about my Bob M3s for sure. You've been knocking them down from all over the place, man, for sure. And Mike, and for you, man, with the NIL on the portal, betting a young man now, knowing he really loves basketball, he's in it for the money. How do you go about betting that with a young man figuring out where his why is, why he wants to be a part of your program and be play basketball?
I mean, I'm glad, like, you know, I wish when I was in college, I would have had a little bit of money. I mean, they're getting a lot now, and it's kind of taken away the hunger and I think like the way a kid comes in, you know, and a kid could easily say, I don't have to listen to you. I make more money than you. You know, I mean, that's easy to say nowadays. And like I said, I'm glad that it wasn't, I mean, I would have loved to have it when I was playing, but I think that would have took my hunger, because my hunger was like, I got to go out and feed my family. I got to make sure I make it. And, you know, I mean, like, we've had a few kids that come in, the first thing to ask is, who's ahead of me? Who else are you recruiting? How much money I get? And I don't want those type of kids. You know, every kid that we have, money wasn't the first question on their list. And, you know, I mean, there was probably maybe one maybe that, you know, maybe later down the line. And I know that he deserved money. But I want a guy that's going to come in here and work hard and that's hungry, that's going to push himself and listen to a coach to get you to that next level. I want the best for everybody on our team. I'm going to be tough on you to push you to be better. You know what I mean? A lot of these coaches will let you get away with stuff at the next level you're not going to get away with. And I, like I said, that's a part of my coaching that I'm going to do, just try to groom them as a young man to be respectful, good people, and a good human being.
You know what, Mike? You know, my dad's a high school coach in Atlanta. And, you know, he always put it in me, do the next right thing. And whatever that was, the next right thing, he always told me about having a routine every day. So even me, 40 years old, I still go out and walk every morning. I still shoot ball in my backyard because of what my dad put in me as a four-year-old. So I'm still getting shots up at 40 years old in my backyard. So talk about having a routine and having a plan every day. No, having a purpose for your day as a young man.
I mean, just for them, it's just like we have stuff that we have time set up. They could always get their own work in afterwards. But like I said, there was a quote I read from Kobe. It was yesterday that I shouldn't have to motivate you to be in the gym. If I have to motivate you to be in the gym, it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough to make you great. And like, you got to want to do it. You got to want to do it yourself. And, you know, I didn't realize that till I got to college. And, you know, I was never really a shooter. In high school, I was a scorer. Like, I averaged 35 points for 2 years, but I could score at, you know, I could shoot threes, but I wasn't really a shooter. And I didn't really have to do extra work in high school because I was a lot better than the guys. So, you know, now I look back at it now, it's like, if I would have started a little bit earlier, who knows what it would have been. You know, I got in the gym with Josh Paston when I was a freshman. And, you know, we sat there and shot, you know, 100 makes every day to start out, just me and him. And, you know, he worked with me in my shot. And eventually I got turned into a jump shooter. So, you know, now it's more known as a jump shooter instead of just a pure scorer. So, I mean, it takes a lot of hard work. And I don't think these kids understand. You got people that are behind them want the money more than them. And that's not good. And, you know, I mean, everybody's telling these kids, oh, you're pros. Not everybody's a pro. And, like, you got to be able to put in that effort. And what you think that is doing enough is not. You know, you got 10 million, 20 million kids out there trying to fill 400 spots. Are you going to be one of those 400 spots?
No doubt, Mike. And for you, man, I'm asking about scheduling games, man. How are you going to approach scheduling games non-conference-wise? I know you have to get bottled a little bit, but how are you going to get schedule these games for your team and compete in that big sky hope and going to that big dance, man?
I mean, like, I'm not going to duck anything. You know, we play UCLA, we play Baylor, we play Cal. Those are the biggest teams that we play right now. And my thing is, everybody's like, well, you don't want to get beat up so early. I said, I don't care the beatings that we take. That will help you grow the beat you take beatings. You know what I mean? And I don't think that we're going to take beatings. You know, I have a good feeling that we could come out and beat these teams. I don't care what school you're at, how much money you have. I'm putting in more effort than a lot of these coaches are putting in. And I know these kids are going to be ready to play. And my main thing is to get them ready for our conference play and our conference tournament, because we need to win that. We need to win the conference tournament in order to go to the NCAA tournament. So that's the biggest thing on our goal. The first game of the season don't mean nothing when you're at the end. So
no doubt, man. It's them days and boys that matter and at your level. So yeah, you're right. Main thing is having your guys healthy to compete in the 3 days and boys. That's the main. It's all that really matters. It's the 3 days and boys.
Yeah, that's all we're waiting for, man. Like that's our main goal. I mean, we set goals for ourselves, you know, win 20 plus games in the season. But we want to play, like I said, I've done that even in the high school. We're the only public school to be in Geico's national championship tournament for 2 years in a row. We're the only public school. Maybe Brandon Roy's team made it after us, but, you know, we played 50, 60 pros throughout the year. You know, in a matter of 2, 3, 4 years. And it got us ready for our tournaments in Arizona. The schools we play there, we go on a 4-game winning streak in Arizona, a 4-year winning streak in Arizona to where we don't lose. We lose one game by a half court shot. You know, it would have been 80 to 90 games after that. But that's our main thing, just get them ready for our conference play and get them ready to play big competition. So when we come to play the more mid-level schools will be ready to play.
Mike, I got two more for you, man. I want to ask you about, you mentioned Josh Pastner. Talk about him, man. He's a good friend of mine. He's a great guy, Georgia Tech here with Memphis. So talk about his growth as a coach and seeing him, what he's done as a coach. And on TV as a commentator as well. It's been a good TV as well. He was on TV.
He's a good motivator. And like I said, he pushed me and got me to where I was at. You know, like I said, he had me in the gym. And he always tell me to snap my wrist. And had good talks. He was my roommate for a little bit, but he didn't want to play us this year, so I'm mad at him. So, but other than that, you know, Josh is a great guy. You know, I love his dad and his family. So, I mean, it was just good to see Josh get another job, you know, at a high profile school at UNLV. So glad he's back in the business.
And last one, Mike, talk about for your players, man, being Sacramento, the capital of California, the opportunities for them to get networking-wise or internship-wise, but the student-athletes part is still important. They can really network. They use that talent right way out there, the people they can run into to help them off the basketball.
I mean, it's good. Like, a lot of people don't understand, like, the conference we're in, you know, a lot of these places, like I said, we're the capital of California. And you get these places, like small places like in Montana and Idaho and stuff like that, to where a lot of these guys – aren't getting the same kind of treatment that our kids are getting out here. Like you said, it's a lot of stuff that they could do out here. And, you know, I mean, I don't want to say get in trouble, but there's a lot of stuff that these other cities and other places that they'll be playing don't have. And, you know, I mean, these kids have to understand you're in a good situation right now. You got to make the best of it.
No doubt. Well, Mike, it's good to connect with you again, man. It's been a long time since I was a little punk young reporter. It's been a dumb question. It's a rookie. So, thank you for answering my questions, man.
All good.
It's been an hour back in 09.
All right. Appreciate it, man. Thanks for having me on.
It was fun, man. Good to see you. Best of luck to you, brother.
You too, man. Thanks.
BS3 Network. Changing the way you watch TV.
Yes, BS3 Network, changing the way you watch TV, covering content and hot topics from A to Z, sports, music, society and culture, movie reviews, you name it, we have it. Check it out on BS3Network.com or check us out on Roku, BS3 TV on Roku, as well as check out your favorite podcast on all podcast platforms or Spreaker.com/BS3Network.
You are now tuned to BS3 Network.
What's up, family? Jared the Boss Man here. You're tuned into the Boss Man Show on AM 1010, AM 1430, 1055 The King. Check The King out at 105theking.com and The Boss Man Show at bossmanshow.com. Hit me up on Instagram, The Boss Man Show, Twitter at Boss Man Show, and Facebook, Boss Man Show. It's The Boss Man on your radio.
Listen to The Boss Man Show with your host, JR, Saturdays at 9 a.m. right here on AM 1010, The King.